Hello, everyone, and welcome to Now Spinning, the official podcast of the Lansing Community College Vinyl Record Club. We meet twice a month to listen to vinyl and talk about music. Stay tuned to learn about how you can get in touch with us and attend our meetings. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Now Spinning. So good to have you with us. With me today, I have
Leo Ackerman,
Jacob Zakvik,
Simon Medina. Today, we're going to continue where we left off on our last episode, and we're going to talk about our honorable mentions this year. Obviously, it was a pretty good year for music, I think.
Too many good albums.
Too many to count, but we're going to try and talk about our very favorite ones. Hopefully, we can get a couple in before we run out of time. So, I want to kick things right off with an album that I was a huge fan of this year, and that is the album Bleeds by the band Wednesday. They're a North Carolina country rock, indie rock band, and I hadn't heard of them until this album came out.
Oh, really?
But their earlier stuff.
Go back and listen to the earlier stuff.
Rat Saw God is so good.
I will look into it. Mm. I will look into it. But this album was really something. Not to talk about Geese to start this record off, but you're getting a bingo card out right now. But what I noticed, lyrically, I think, at least on this album, is that it was a polar opposite to what I was talking about with Getting Killed. Like, how it's a very surreal album. This one's very straightforward. It just says stuff that happened. It's like telling real story. Feels like it's telling real stories, you know, from this person's life.
I think that's a big part of why people like Wednesday or take them seriously. Is lyrically, it really hits some real stuff, some real experiences. You know, maybe I don't have as many obvious ways that I relate to somebody who grew up in rural North Carolina, but enough.
Yeah, it's
and
rural thing.
I really get that. It's deep in parts. There's definitely some songs that are kind of have some deeper stuff going on.
It's fun at times, but it's not afraid. She says what's on her mind. She says things that happened, especially I think the first two songs, the first three songs, there's the 1-2 punch of the song Townies and then into Wound Up Here by Holding On. Those are my two top songs, non-Geese, of this year. Just incredible, very, heartbreaking, evocative imagery on both of those things. Mm-hmm. Not even imagery, it's just heartbreaking stories.
Yeah, you talk about stories that the last song in the album, it's God, I hope that's not a real conversation she had with a real person, because that guy's life sucks, man.
Okay, so the Pitchfork writer Walden Green did a great review of this record, a glowing review of Bleeds, and he made a very, I feel, apt comparison to Rumors by Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, boy.
Because MJ Lenderman, who is a fantastic solo artist in his own right, as well as the guitarist for this band, recently went through a breakup with lead singer and also guitarist Carly Hartzman. From what we can gather here, it was pretty tense.
I'm barely online, but what I saw implied that it was pretty amicable, and they were like, "Yeah, we're gonna keep making music together."
Well,
and
as amicable as it can be, and still work together and still have a career together, because they're not touring together anymore.
No, yeah, I noticed
he
that.
He isn't touring with the band, but he still plays on the records because they're not. It's not gonna work out if these exes are playing on tour together. I really think that Rumors is a really apt comparison.
Yeah,
definitely.
Because not only are the songs about this emotional tension, but they're playing on it together, and you can almost feel the tension in the recording because they're in the same room recording it, and she's singing these songs about the guy playing guitar on the song. It's like, it's a little bit nerve-wracking, but it's also equally fun.
Well, and it's probably a big part of what makes it so relatable is real. It's very real.
I thought it was fantastic. Yeah. Go listen to it. Please. We love you, Carly Hartzman. Please be a friend of the show.
Come on the show, we'll talk.
I specifically want to point out, so Wednesday had some previous tracks on previous albums, I guess I should say. Had some tracks on previous albums that were a lot more high energy than I get. This album, the first half of it, I was like, this is a bit slow, you know? I've listened to it a couple times since then, and I go, okay, this is great, you know what I mean? But yeah, I remember the first time listening to it going, this is a bit slow, and then the songs Pick Up That Knife, which then bleeds into the song Wasp, is so high energy and so hot, awesome. I was like, they were just making me wait for it. they still had a couple songs that really kicked it out, really said, we're not just indie, we're not just, you know, this country influence, whatever. We're gonna basically do like a hardcore punk song.
Awesome.
And that's like their blending of styles is just so amazing. And that's, people make the comparison a lot to shoegaze, and I'm like, dude, I barely hear it. But then, like, there are definitely bits where you're like, oh, no, this is, it's a very experimental way to do, especially that, like, country rock indie, you know, sort of sound. Like, it's pretty unique. It is great. Definitely go listen to it.
For sure.
Speaking of country-ish stuff, I do want to bring up real quick, there's this fantastic ambient Americana, I think you would call it.
Yeah, yeah.
Country-ish? Anyway, an acoustic record by this guy called Hayden Pettigo. I just wanted to give this one a quick shout-out because it's beautiful. It's wonderful acoustic guitar stuff. Hayden Pettigo has released 3 albums in a wonderful trilogy that are all pretty equal in quality, all pretty stellar, as well as a collaboration with the band Chatpile, who are a noise rock and doom metal band.
Yeah, that's a... Not a very expected crossover. I was a little surprised to see that, but I'll have to check that out.
Brilliant. While we're talking about vaguely country related stuff, so Japanese Breakfast had a new album this year. I quite liked it. It was all right. The song Orlando in Love had like country-ish influences on it, I feel like. And I like Japanese Breakfast has done some pretty different things in the past, but this is, I was like, there was a bunch of albums this year that I felt like that like country folk style influence made its way in on. And I was like, oh, this sounds really coming into the mainstream, probably because everybody's sick of like pop country and they're like, give me country sound without like, you know, that nonsense. You know, not that that isn't a valid genre, but it is widely derided, I think, in the like modern culture, you know. But yeah, so I just thought that was interesting that like, it made its way in. Also, this album, it's called For Melancholy Brunettes and Sad Women. I think this is Japanese Breakfast calling out all the like sad girl music that's really become popular recently. I think this is like, okay, I can write sad girl music too. And it's like, yeah, you can. It's pretty good. It's pretty good sad girl music. I enjoyed it a lot.
I enjoyed the record, but I do think there's this like fire to Jubilee.
Yeah, this one has way less energy in that way. And that's like this one, I don't know, maybe more emotionally driven than Jubilee. But yeah, not as like tumultuously emotionally driven maybe. So I don't know, Jubilee's awesome. So it's kind of hard, you know, they're a little different. And but yeah, I get where you would come from to say that.
What do you have? What do you have for us?
Oh, well, I don't know if it relates to Japanese Breakfast at all, but I've been, like we said, this has been a pretty good year for indie, like indie rock, post-rock stuff almost. One band I wanted to shout out from Michigan that I saw live with Geese is Racing Mount Pleasant.
This had a lot of country influence in it too.
A little bit. They get a lot of flack from people for sounding pretty identical to Black Country New Road. I don't quite hear that. They definitely have their own thing going. There's times, I feel like any post-rock band that has like prominent saxophone is going to get called like Black Country New Road at this point, but like I think that they take that in a different direction. They definitely blend in a lot of that like Midwest emo kind of stuff, like you said, a little bit of the country stuff.
I definitely heard a lot of Midwest emo in this without it really being in that genre.
No, yeah,
like you hear the influence, but like it's there, it's just not the same, you know.
It's definitely not, it's not a Midwest emo album, but it's in the sphere. Like, obviously these people grew up, you know, like they're from Ann Arbor, this band. They're called Racing Mount Pleasant. They're not from Mount Pleasant. Don't ask me. I didn't come up with the name.
It's not even spelled right, so. I mean, in reference to the town. So.
Right. But yeah, they're pretty good. I quite like them. Maddie got their album at the show. Shout out to Maddie, friend of the show. When we went to go see Geese, they opened for them. I had heard their album before that. I thought it was pretty good. Their live show was real. I thought their live show was great. The sound guy there kind of did them a little dirty, but they were having, there was so much energy on that stage. It was really great. My favorite memory from that show was one of the members, like mother or something, was standing behind me in like the crowd. And between the songs, she just kept yelling Racing Mount Pleasant at them. It was so good. That's what I like though about like, you know, local bands and stuff like that. You know, you get people know them. That's always interesting.
Yeah. Oh man. I went to a show way back when I was in high school. And it was to see my friend's band, La Mano, that obviously is not a band anymore. I shouldn't say obviously, but not a band anymore. Not a band you can go listen to. But anyway, they were Lamano. It was their first show, so I had to go. But they played with another band. And this other band, it was just their family that was there. It was a bunch of high school students there to see Lamano. And then it was like a bunch of 40 and 50-year-olds to see this other band play. And honestly, the other band did great. I thought they did some really cool stuff, and it was awesome. But yeah, the like moms at shows is so like, it's kind of cringe, but it's also like, oh, I'm so glad she's here and enjoying it. Like it's so beautiful to see that happen. And that's such a cool thing that like, oh, I sat right in front of this band's mother, like, and heard how excited she was to see her children play.
She's like that's, oh,
so
my god,
awesome.
My son's playing the Majestic Theater.
Exactly.
And
no,
like,
yeah,
I'm here watching
exactly.
The Majestic
yeah,
Theater.
Yeah, that would blow your mind, especially if you're from around here. Like it would really, like you would. She's probably been to that theater before and
definitely.
Seen other artists or shows. You know.
Yeah, they were gonna be at a smaller venue, but like because Geese blew up, they had to move to a bigger.
Wow.
They were gonna be at the L Club, which is like I don't know if you've been there, but it's very cramped, very small. But this place, it was like a whole. I've never been to the Majestic Theater before, but it's beautiful. They have like on the ceiling, they have like this mural, all these lights. It's such a incredible place. I could, you know, I'd be proud if my children were playing in that place as well. That's incredible.
Cool.
But yeah, great band, Racing Mount Pleasant. Check out their self-titled album. If you enjoy like I said, Midwest emo, windmill scene, any of that kind of stuff, it's a great listen.
I'm going to steal this one right here. Just because I was talking about high school, a band I listened to in high school a lot, OK Go. So OK Go hasn't released an album since like 2014, 2015. Like it's been a decade. They released an album this year. It's great. It's nothing like exceptionally new. It sounds like OK Go, but it's just nice. It's indie sleaze kind of style, very high energy. All of OK Go was. And OK Go, very famous for their music videos. Mm-hmm. So if I can't convince you to go listen to this album, which you should, go watch some of their music videos. Yeah, just very cool stuff, kicking out the stuff that they were doing 10 years ago, like they never missed a beat. They just look a bit older now, and that's okay, you know, so do I.
Nothing wrong with that.
Okay,
check it out.
That was actually a very effective segue, because I was going to do a hard pivot into louder, noisier stuff. All right.
Beautiful.
That works. A lot of high-octane stuff in my list here. We have something I talked about earlier in this year, 45 Pounds by Yahweh Nailgun.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Disgusting. Evil, downright frightening stuff. It's 20 minutes of terror. I love it to death. Very excited to see where they go from here. Los Tuzanaca. This is a duo of the Cramptons. They are siblings. They are both very eclectic musicians in their own right. Joshua Crampton is a really out there guitarist who only, I don't know, I only heard his record like last year or something like that. Estrella por Estrella. It is so loud. It's deafening. I mean, it's unmixed, unmastered, pummeling stuff. And Alicia Crampton is one of the most talented DJs I've ever heard. We were talking about Justin Bieber on the last episode. Go listen to it. We were
really?
Talking. Yeah, we were. She remixed like younger Justin Bieber songs into these beautiful, like ethereal, almost ambient pieces. And these sounds, like the Latin electronic mashup stuff with the noisy guitar. And the almost, I think a good comparison for Joshua Crampton would be Arthur Russell, strangely enough, if either of you are familiar. He takes Arthur Russell's very echo-laden stuff, very, I would call it scenic style, and it's so nasty. It's so cool. I love it to death. Also, Swans released their last big loud album this year. I don't have much to say about it. It's just Swans doing their modern stuff cranked up to 10, and also stuff that's way, I don't want to say nastier than they've ever done before, but they keep getting grosser in different ways, which I appreciate. Mm-hmm. You know, keeps things fresh.
I've got two albums that I just made, what you said made me think of. First, Siblings, the band Between Friends, released an album this year. Wow, I think is what it's called. Brother and sister, kind of like electro pop, but also kind of into. It defies easy categorization, but yeah, it just, you know, modern dancey stuff. The song Jam is a freaking hot jam, dude. It is so cool. The pre-chorus is just so weird, so unlike what you're hearing in like dancey pop songs right now, but just awesome. So highly recommend that one. I love Between Friends. I don't need to say a bunch more about them, but another one that you know, like, I don't know, Yahweh Nailgun and them, like, made me think of like the experimentality of it. I'm using that word again, experimentality.
It can That's be a word if you repeat it enough.
Yeah. Simon recommended to me Hagen by Titanic. And that one was, experimental in really interesting ways. Yeah. It wasn't, you know, quite as noisy, you know, that wasn't really vibe. But yeah, there's a lot of really dissonant stuff in there where you're like, what are they doing? But it really works and it really kind of forces some feelings out of these songs. You're like, wow.
Mabe Frati is the vocalist and cellist in that band. Her and I think it's Ila Católica is the name of the artist. Mm-hmm. Mabe Frati is this crazy, like, I don't even know what you call her, art pop
kind of
weird jazz stuff,
avant-garde
chamber
or
pop.
I don't know if it's avant-garde. The record that they just released this year, strangely enough, is like by far their most accessible. By far, and it still retains the weird, like almost
good.
Like
good.
Uncomfortable edge that it has the entire time, but it has like hooks this time around.
Oh yeah,
this is very good. Plus. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's you know, going back to the Between Friends, hooky. That's I would describe those as very hooky.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, like, we talk a lot on the show about like very like loud, abrasive experimental bands, but like, you know, it's a little refreshing of change of pace to hear like a band that experiments, but they're not like trying to make you deaf at the same time. Mm. Not to say that's bad. Like, I enjoy, you know, it's live music from time to time, but it's always interesting to hear a band that's less focused on just like pure noise. One band that I found this year that is incredibly, I don't even remember how I found it. It's like a random experimental prog band from Arizona. They're a group called Skin Theory, and their album is called Briar. I don't really have a lot to say about it other than it's a very good, if you enjoy like King Crimson, like 70s, 80s King Crimson, if you like that kind of stuff, you'll probably get something out of their album. It's a little bit Black Midi, a little bit like Windmill in there as well. I don't want to say like every single prog band that has a saxophone player in it is Windmill related, but like that's my frame of reference to it. That's my bad. But I thought that they're very incredible. Their album, Briar. Look it up. If you're listening to this and you're in that band, come on the show. I want to ask you questions about it. But yeah.
Is this whole episode just going to be us saying, please get in contact
Cameron
with
Winter.
Us. We
Cameron
love
Winter.
You. We love it's just, this is a fan cast now.
A little bit.
This is just networking. We'll treat it as networking. Mm-hmm. Send it to as many labels as we can.
Paul McCartney.
It's networking what they're going to call like parasocial.
Sure.
Is that not what it is right now anyway?
Yeah, it's a little. We're just talking about music.
Different shades of the
Paul
same.
McCartney, if you're listening to this, get on the show. I just want to ask you some questions. It'll be a good time.
We'll or your out. Son James. Send James just McCartney on the podcast. We'll do anything. Just get McCartney
it's gonna be
here,
cool.
Dude,
yeah.
Please.
Okay.
Where were we? Yeah.
I've got some quick fire ones that I can shoot real fast here. Val Synth by the artist Flora Fishbach. I discovered them completely by accident from a YouTube thumbnail. I went, this video looks wild. I clicked on it, and it was a wild video, but the music is amazing. It's just like electronica, avant-garde-ish at times. Just fun, sounds cool, sounds nice. Really liked that one. I kind of want to mention real quick, Anamanaguchi had a new album this year. I thought it was interesting. I've listened to Anamanaguchi for a while, even back when they were like making chiptune stuff. So now that they're making like, I don't want to say real music, but like more broad appeal music, it's like, cool. This is just a cool sound. I've heard some people talking about it, and I'm like, you talking about Anamanaguchi? Like, really? Another one, my album of the year last year was Worthy Kids, who's just like a YouTube animator who happens to make music. His album this year was an experimental album called 13 Jokers, and it's like 13 songs about jokers and clowns, and it's really, really weird, and I couldn't honestly recommend it to anyone unless you're into just like
clown music.
Really, really weird clown music. Well,
is it like is that like the genre? Is it like circus music, or is it like
No. It transcends genres. Okay.
You're intriguing.
There's like hard rock songs on there, there's punk songs on there. But there's also like he's like rapping for part of it, and you're like, what? There's a song that is like clown music, and it's like being played on like children's instruments, and there's like a nose honking sound. Go listen to
I'm
it if you're
definitely
go listen to the Worthy Kids album from last year, please. That's a good album.
I did like that
in
one
its
a
own
lot.
Right. This one was just so weird, and that's like I couldn't honestly recommend it as an album of the year, but like it was like one of the most experimental albums I listened to all year because it's about freaking jokers and clowns, and I was like,
tap in.
This is so weird.
If there's one thing you take away from this episode, tap into the Joker's album, please.
I want to, okay, so you mentioned rapping, so I want to take a little, I want to use that as a segue to talk about some like hip-hop related stuff that I really liked this year. Earl Sweatshirt dropped a project this year called Live, Laugh, Love. Earl Sweatshirt has been around since like, what, 2011 or so? He's been rapping since he was like 14. He, for a very long time, was known as this like very depressed, very like somber rapper. Like very like upsetting, I guess, just like very depressing.
Yeah.
Incredible stuff, but just upsetting.
Not normal for like mainstream rap.
No. But now he's found himself in a much better headspace. He's with a girl that he really loves. He's doing great. And so he just named it Live, Laugh, Love, not as a tongue-in-cheek thing, but just like, I'm loving
kind,
how
kind of
I'm
a
loving
genuine
being alive
live, laugh,
right now,
love?
Actually.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Flipping it on its head. Really loved this record. I think this is probably his strongest record since the record Some Rap Songs, which has proven to be a very influential record in its own right. And jumping off of that, I want to talk about this guy, Mike. Now, Mike is somebody who's, that's just, it's just Mike. Mike is closely associated with Earl Sweatshirt. I think early on, people thought he was kind of this like, I'm not going to say a clone, but they thought he was very derivative.
Mm.
And he's grown into his own artist. And I think he's honestly a bit more eclectic than Earl is. And his stuff is a lot more fun. His record from this year is called Showbiz. It's a treat. Just enjoy yourself, dude. Go, like, Earl Sweatshirt and Mike at this point are just making songs you can throw on and be like, you know what? Yeah, I am enjoying being alive right now. This is so cool. This is so great. On the flip side of that, there's this, so I know modern underground rap is very, very divisive. A lot of people don't rock with like Playboi Carti and stuff like that. I'm not going to say I do either because I didn't like the Playboi Carti record from this year. But, you know, I feel like it's important to mention his name when we're talking about like the rage subgenre of hip hop right now. Osama Sun right now is, I mean, he has two records released this year, one called Jump Out and the other's called Psychotic. There are some synthesizers on here and some noises on here that you would genuinely find on like a Murs Bout record. It is some of the most, and I know we talk about abrasive music, it's next level. Like it freaks me out. I feel like my car is going to break when I listen to it.
Cool.
Just really sick stuff. And
can I sneak one more in here?
Yes, of course.
You were talking about an artist with multiple albums out in the year. We were talking earlier before we started recording. Foolishly, we were talking about this. Eusexual by FKA Twigs.
Yes.
So I knew that there were multiple albums this year, but you were going into some detail. This is like there's almost like three distinct albums in a way, like three distinct experiences that you can go just one right after the other. Or is that going to be too much?
No, I mean it's a treat front to back, all of them. I mean, there's the first Eusexual released in January of this year,
which is the one I listened to. I really liked. You know, a lot of it was samey. You know what I mean? A lot of the tracks sounded similar, but that was okay. I was like, these are really cool tracks.
Then recently there was Eusexual Afterglow, which is not a remix record. It's a completely new record. With completely new songs and a different sound and a different vibe. It's just like, okay, if this was like the feeling of partying and like the bliss that you have, here's the actual party. Here's where you throw down and like stuff gets crazy. And then there's the Eusexual Redux, which is just like an adjusted track list with new songs that I kind of like better than the original. There's just three very different experiences. And I don't know, shout out FKA Twigs. She's been at it for a very long time. Very consistent.
All right, rapid fire, anybody? I got The Beth's album was really good. Just Mustard was really, really good. Natalie Bergman had a new one out this year. Night Tapes.
Write this down.
Had dope albums. If we get some chance to talk to you about them, we will. But rapid fires that I had to get in there real quick.
Yeah, I'll rapid fire like a couple in here. Ryan Davis and the Roadhouse Band, they had a really good album this year. Black Country New Road also dropped this year. I didn't mention it, but I liked it quite a bit. There's a doom metal album called Void Meridian by Mesa that I actually, not usually my genre, but I liked it a lot. It was like the album's called The Spin by Mesa. It's quite good, like Italian doom metal. Not normally my genre, but I got into it. I liked it quite a bit. And then, gonna mention an EP, technically not an album, Sumi, West Side Cowboy. They're a new English windmill scene band. They're really great. Check them out. That's all I got.
That's about all I got. That's all we got time for.
Man. Fantastic.
Some really great albums this year. Go listen to them.
Watch this podcast. Listen to this podcast. Write it all down. Listen to all of it. It's all great.
James McCartney, please come on the show.
All right, that's everything today. Thank you all for tuning in. We hope to see you next time.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.